This is Gloria Minot Presents.
Right now, we're going to be talking with Richard L. Chilton, Jr. His book, Adventures with Old Vines, A Beginner's Guide to Being a Wine Connoisseur. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gloria.
So, your love affair with wine began when?
Well, it began in 1976. I was 18 years old, and we had an old bomb shelter that we were looking to decommission and turn into something. And I said, you know, it was dark and it was damp. And I said, you know what, let's turn it into a wine cellar. And my brother chimed in, that'd be a great idea. And my dad said, okay, let's do it.
Hmm.
So we had to start learning about wine, which I did.
So the holiday season, well, it's upon us, and people will be thinking about pairing what with their turkey, with their roasts, or with their vegetarian dishes. So please tell us, buying wine, is it necessary to buy the most expensive in order to learn about wine as a whole?
No. So why I wrote this book, Gloria, was there's so many young millennials and young people out there who are wanting to get into wine, and even people in their Gen Xers, they want to get into wine, but they feel intimidated and they don't know how. So I wanted to write a book for them that demystified wine, that showed them how to get started, how to build a wine cellar, how to taste wine, how to store wine, how to buy wine, wine fraud. But then to start their journey, because I very much view wine as a journey. It's been 41 years for me, and that journey is taking me to all parts of the world. But to have a wine journey, you need to know what's the best wine out there, a benchmark of each different varietal. So I list and give profiles on 60 different wines that I consider to be the benchmark. Now, why is that important? Because you may only need half a glass of that wine to understand what it tastes like, so that when you go out and you find wines that are going to be of lesser quality, you can understand how attractive they are. Wine does not have to be expensive to enjoy, and you just have to know what to look for. So that's what this book helps people do.
Mm-hmm. And the baby boomers are, most of us are not all that savvy when it comes to dealing with wines either.
No, that's correct. And so there's a couple of key tenets that you need to understand. And, you know, one of them is that wine is very dominated by years, great years. And so I list in the index the great years in by region around the world and those to avoid. So, for instance, if you look at a Bordeaux wine in 2005 or 2009, virtually everybody, expensive or non-expensive, made great wines in those years. So if you know that, hey, I see this 09 Bordeaux from Pouillac, and it's $30 a bottle, it's going to be great because everybody made great wine in Pouillac in 2009. I have confidence that this will be good, whether it be on a wine list or whether it be in a wine store or whether it be at Trader Joe's.
Hmm. Do you think that wines that are you buy it in bulk, and if you have wines in, now we have wines in cartons, do they get a bad rap?
Well, I think that I explore the great corkage and sealant mystery that has embraced wine for so many years now, going back to the 80s, which is, what is the best closure? Is it cork? Is it resin? Or is it a screw top? And I'll throw in the mix now cans, because you're starting to see the proliferation of wine in cans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not going to see super premium wine in cans, but you'll see rosé. You'll see some sparkling wine like Prosecco, and that's okay. Most people drink their wine, those certain types of wine, very early, within the first year. So that's going to be okay for screw tops. It's going to be okay for cans. For the premium, more premium wines, which need to age, the cork is still the best place to do it, because there's a slight in capture of air through the cork because it breathes over a long period of time, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And that helps with the maturation process of fine wine. But in wines like a Sauvignon Blanc or a Riesling or Rosé, those wines which get drunk early, you know, whether it be a cap, a screw cap, or a can, it's not going to matter.
Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't see a Lafite in a box.
No, you won't see Lafite in a box.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain romance to popping the cork, and which comes, but also too is in fairness to the romance. It is the cork, the natural cork, is still the best way to close and seal a Chateau Lafite, which needs to be aged while it's still in the bottle.
Mm-hmm. I wish we had more time, but finally, can you tell us about the art of tasting wine?
Sure. Tasting, that's where the rubber meets the road, Gloria. And, you know, scent is 70% of your olfactory nerves through your nose are 70% of how you taste. And, you know, that tasting, you need to smell it. You need to understand it. First, you see the color, and you see you can tell if it's a young wine or if it's an old wine. If it's a wine that's been matterized, meaning it's spent, and then through nose, and then through taste, you can determine what types of varietals are there, and that's called typicity, and that is a key tasting point for tasting blind, meaning without the fact that you see the label. And it's very important on how you can understand which wines are made where.
Richard L. Chilton, Jr., his book, Adventures with Old Vines, A Beginner's Guide to Being a Wine Connoisseur. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.